Advice on how to win the National Prize for Scientific Research. Just revolutionize global progress in the field of virology. Organisms of the Czech Republic, unite. Your genetic data is wanted, but there are so many of you, more than 100,000. And how do generations of children from smoggy Prague know there are stars out there? Because there is one of the largest planetariums in the world here, and it's celebrating its 50th birthday. All that coming up this month on Science Journal. For as long as it's been possible, the various learned institutions of the Czech Republic have been gathering the genetic information of our animal cousins from wherever they lie. That means biologists, botanists, bacteriologists, and bestiologists of all sorts have valuable collections of genetic information stored at their various places of study around the country. The idea now is to bring them together under the Academy of Sciences to make a genetic database of all that lives in the Czech Republic. One of the organisms organizing that great feat is geneticist Jan Zima of the Institute of Vertebrate Biology in Brno.
Collections of biological materials such as tissues, cells, or DNA samples are kept at many institutions in our country. However, there is considerable lack of coordination and central database for such collections. So our aim is to make such comprehensive searchable database which will serve as national gene bank.
And who exactly would be using it? For what purposes?
There are two basic purposes for such bank. First, it's conservation of genetic diversity. We can conserve biological materials, native biological materials in genetic banks. It is obviously not the best approach, but in many cases it is necessary and very useful. So this is the first aim of the genetic bank. And the second is to promote scientific collaboration, aiming to understand the patterns of biological diversity, distribution, and variation. And such a database will obviously be open to other research groups, and it will make a tool for mutual interactions and collaboration.
Can we say how many species there are in the Czech Republic?
Nobody knows exactly. However, the estimated number of species of all organisms is more than 100,000.
And the species that we can only speculate about would be what kind of organisms? Are we talking about bacteria and that kind of?
Yes, of course. Generally speaking, the groups that are relatively well known are vertebrates and higher plants, and perhaps some groups of insects, such as beetles or butterflies. But all the other groups are less known, and in some of them, our knowledge is really poor. It concerns bacteria, fungi, and other groups.
What will the organization of this bringing together of genetic databanks in the country involve? Will it involve the building of a new center, or what would the large-scale version of the plan entail?
I think that it is not necessary to build large new facilities. The main problem is coordination. And you know, you need good computer and some people taking care about this database. So that's all.
So when could we possibly expect such a database to exist?
We hope to make the first steps as soon as possible, and perhaps the next year we can start with building up the database and the gene bank. But it's apparent that the process will be long. It's not possible to make it during a week. It will be a question of several years, certainly.
They call it the Czech Nobel Prize, and not just because it sounds better than the real name of the governmental award for outstanding scientific research, the Czech head. Whatever the name, it's amongst the highest awards that a scientist can receive in the Czech Republic, and the man who received it this year is Jan Svoboda. Yes, everyone in our show today is named Jan. To win such an award, Dr. Svoboda did no less than crystallize our understanding of viruses and the way they attack us. Here's me trying to get my head around the subject when I spoke with Dr. Svoboda just recently. A retrovirus is an RNA virus, yes, like HIV or forms of cancer, that uses a special kind of chemical key to break into a cell where it waits for an opportune moment to begin to multiply.
Yes.
And you were able to clarify this process.
Well, of course, it's not so simple, but I have been interested in virus transformation since the 50s as a student. Then I looked for some suitable model because, as you know, working in Czechoslovakia those days, we were fully cut off. And therefore, I turned my attention to the oncogenic activity of these viruses in mammals. And then I established the tumor line, which was the first so-called virogenic tumor line where no infectious virus has been produced, but still the genetic information of the virus has been present. The integrated provirus is present in every cell, but not fully expressed.
Well, your work has formed the basis for the work of other virologists all over the world. How much of what you originally hoped to achieve has been achieved? In other words, where has the rest of the world taken your discoveries in virology, and what do you still hope could come of your work?
Well, in fact, I almost fulfilled what I liked. You have to take into account that we have now the era of molecular biology, and all what I did originally was based on the virology and cytology investigation. Nowadays, people are very much interested what's happening on the molecular level. This is a very important issue because in order to intervene with the virus, we have to know how the cell is able to intervene with it. And according to this, to propose new strategies. And therefore, I think that the extension of our original studies have quite an impact on the problem how to stop the retroviruses, HIV included.
There were eventually Nobel Prizes handed out for for in this field, and your work was cited by the laureates, who said that you should have shared in the prize as well. Have you ever felt that you missed out on that?
Well, I highly value especially Howard Thamin, who put a lot of effort. Of course, he got also far better resources for his work. However, I have been following completely different paths. And he was fair enough in his Nobel Prize talk, where he spoke about provirus, essentially. He clearly quoted our contribution and our proposal and our findings as independent upon him.
Now on to something I really do understand, which is gazing at stars. On a good night in Prague City Center, you can see 10, maybe 20 of the things through the smog, signs, and street lamps. Thank goodness then for the Prague Planetarium, which for exactly 50 years now has been guiding stargazers, young and old, through the immensity of time and space. I offered my birthday congratulations to Jan Schiffner, who told me a bit about how times have changed in the planetarium.
Before 50 years, we start with old planetarium with one slide projector and gramophone. And today we have a digital planetarium, a digital system, new optomechanic planetarium, Cosmorama, slide systems, and other things.
And I understand that the planetarium in Prague has quite a few superlatives. It's the biggest screen in the Czech Republic. It's one of the largest planetariums in the world in terms of the size of the dome.
We We have 23-meter domes. That means we are one of the largest planetarium on the world. And of course, we are largest planetarium in Czech Republic and first in the world in a number of planetarium devices which are installed in one planetarium building, because we have six planetarium devices in our facility.
What do you think the future will hold now for the planetarium? Can you begin to imagine what the planetarium could look like in another 50 years from now?
I would like to imagine it. We would like to change the view of entrance hall. It is planned for next year. And of course, we would like to prepare a lot of new shows which will use our old technology.
That was Jan Schiffner of the Prague Planetarium, which is now celebrating 50 years. With a hearty thanks to you, Mr. Schiffner, and our other guests this month, Jan Svoboda and Jan Zima, Science Journal signs off. See you in November.